got a fanny pack name right there.
That I do. That I do. Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. And maybe to some of you folks, good night. You are now tuned into You Heard Radio, where life moves from the verb of the words. That's the actions of your words. It is I, your host, soon coming, Amadi. And I'm on air with that sound.
It's your boy, J Bell, back again. The next episode.
Yes, sir, in the flesh.
Yes, sir. How you living today?
Oh, I'm living swell. Living oh so well. And I'm excited to introduce you to our special guest today, my mama, mom, ma. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And I'm the original soon coming.
Soon. So today, I'm just going to start it like it is, smooth as ever. How was your day going so far, Jay?
You know, it's going pretty good. Learning every single day, taking that one step in, just keep on learning. Went to work today, had a good day at work. I talked to a lot of people. That's one of the main important things, is talking to people. So I've been doing better at that, just reaching out, consistency, and building a relationship. So it all takes time, but we're getting there.
Hey, I like what you said. I'm getting better at talking to people.
Yeah.
That's a small thing that I feel people take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it doesn't change. I mean, from elementary and on and so forth, it almost seems like it doesn't matter what point you get to, you still get those vibes. You get clicks at work. You get, you know, you get different lunch tables. It doesn't, not everyone like evolves. Maybe you evolve, but there's still that same thing. You go, dang, I'm still dealing with this kind of stuff at work. Like, you're going to give me the silent treatment?
Yeah. But at least, you know, when you're going down the lunch table, you can at least say hi. You know, it's like, I'm not going to sit with you today, but, you know, one day I might come in and sit next to you today. Mm-hmm. You know?
Like, mix it up.
Yeah.
Like, Chex Mix. Right. Yeah. So, how are you doing today, Mom?
I'm doing great. I got to watch The Mandalorian, which is something I had heard of but never experienced, so that was a great deal of fun.
I remember we watched Star Wars back in the day, like the whole Darth Vader thing. Were you big on Star Wars when it came out, when it first came out?
I don't think I'm a collector of those type of shows, but I enjoy them. Mm-hmm. But I'm not the biggest fan, meaning knowing every detail. And
so what fascinated you about Star Wars? Was it a different film when it came out, as far as like the graphics and the lightsaber thing, or was it just like, oh, everyone's on it, let me just see what it's about?
Well, I think I like science fiction, and it was just outer world, just so different and just more exciting than just watching I Love Lucy. Or,
but you do like Star Trek?
I do like it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have to watch it.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, you know what, I noticed that you read more than you watch. Anyways,
I'm multifaceted.
Mm-hmm.
I like to read. I like to hear other people read to me.
Okay.
And I also like to watch.
Okay. No, the reason I say that is like our last episode, I was talking about how many times or how many minutes you have to read to get exposed to new words by the end of the year. And what it said is 20 minutes of reading a day will expose you to 1.8 million words. And I'm like, my mom has to be well over that, because you read more than 20 minutes a day.
This is true.
And that's the bare minimum.
I'm in the multi-million.
Multi-million. Yes.
You'll need to catch up.
I know. And so I was telling our listeners that I was growing up as a library baby, you know, because we were always in the library. Before the broadband, it was like straight. You know, when we were using the internet, AOL, waiting for the guy to dial up and run. But I used to enjoy going to the library to get that hour on the internet. And then, you know, have to get the book. You know, there was that line. You know, library's fun. So, like, bringing the library, was that something you were growing up to? Like, what introduced you to the library? Was that a self thing, or did you just kind of walk upon it? Your mom brought you there?
Well, I'll tell you, I was a horrible reader. And then my mother went to a teacher conference, and they said, oh, your kids can't read.
And you see, I imagine a teacher conference is for uplifting and getting
to the root of the problem, but here I see it as a time for teachers to hit low blows at the parents, to just to shoot some shots, you know? For me, I used to always fall asleep in class. So when I had that teacher conference, it came out, my guardian's like, hey, I noticed Amadi's always sleeping. Does he not have a bed at home? Is he not getting rest at night? Does he have blankets? Almost like, yo, chill out. Hey, your mom isn't the best reader. Is she okay? Is there not any books around? Is there not access to a library? Are you guys not doing your job? Like I said, chill out, teach. No apples for your ass.
And my mother said, that's not happening. So she decided to go on the mission of having all of my older siblings make me read everything every time we went out. So they would be like, dummy, read the sign. Subway, Dan's, post office. And
Hold on. You said it so straight, but if you were hard time reading, were you going subway? Or were you just subway, Dan, you know?
I don't know. When you're challenged with being called dumb and you want to prove other people wrong, mm-hmm. you'd be surprised at what your mind now can grasp. And reading isn't necessarily, I mean, if you don't have a learning disability,
mm-hmm.
reading is more about just practice. And that's where a lot of kids get lost. If your parents don't make you read, you know, you're going to pick it up. Mm-hmm. But how fast you pick it up.
Repetition.
Is another story. That's why when you guys were young, I kept emergency books in the glove compartment, mm-hmm. under the seat. I had CDs going. I had talk radio going.
Yeah.
So
I remember the Tom Joyner.
I wanted to I wanted you to be in an overkill situation where you were going to pick up something. And to be honest, you and your brother were a little slow. I was concerned.
Hey, we were until we weren't.
And then the whistler never whistled again. The end. How's that for not reading?
And then one day, it just clicked. You were reading smoothly, and I was like, oh, my job is done. Yay.
Wow. You know, I never knew that you were never a good reader before, where you're like, she's not the brightest. So from there on, you soared off.
I love reading. Once I started, it was like when you're young, you don't know. It's like a vacation of the mind. But that's what it was. It was like a vacation of the mind. You get to escape. You get to be somewhere else. You get to live some adventure. You get to experience something that maybe you'll never go to or participate in. And so even to this day, when I open a book that I don't have a background in reading or, you know, haven't read the reviews, it's like a great adventure.
Wow.
Some are not so good. Some are better than others. But it's still always a great adventure.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so J-Bell, what's your most recent adventure as far as, like, in the words?
Most recent adventure in the words.
Yeah. I know you were showing me something when I was at your crib. Like, there was a book you were like, yo, this one's breaking down stuff. I had to take a break because it got too deep on me.
Yeah, I kind of took the cover off of it because I didn't want to, like, spoil it. And I just wanted to just go into it full force.
Yeah.
I'll bring it back up again for you, though. I haven't picked it up again. I've been doing a lot of reading at work and just reading about foundations and things like that. So I've been reading, you know, like the specifications and the foundations of things. So
I like how you brought us right into our topic today. So what we're going to be discussing is the foundation of ourself, right? Our lives, in contrast to a profession that you've kind of dabbled in peekaboo throughout all the episodes. I remember a few episodes ago you mentioned how you had the ability to solder your neighbor's pipes when they went out, but due to liability reasons you didn't. And I was like, solder pipes? What's this man talking about right here?
Yeah,
what's you breaking walls? Like,
yeah.
So for our viewers, what is your profession? Viewers, listeners, this is a show of the listener. I'm not doing viewing yet because I think you should enjoy the art of the ears, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm an assistant project manager, kind of similar to a project engineer. So I handle a lot of the paperwork in the background of a job site, manage trades of work and different people, and coordinate meetings and things of that, track material.
Wow.
Just kind of like the things that need to get done so the job site still moves.
Okay, so project manager right there. When I look at you, I'm like, you're a millennial, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you must deal with a lot of adversity at work.
Actually, I'm not a millennial.
X?
I'm a Gen Z.
Gen Z, okay. So Gen Z.
I'm like one of the first like Gen Zs. Like the cutoff is like a couple weeks before my birthday.
Wow, okay. Yeah. You made it.
I'm Gen Z.
I'm millennial on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now, what that brings me to, before we even get deeper into your field, I'm like, being a Gen Z and working in the construction field, I feel like it's prominent with older gentlemen, older mm-hmm. men. Mm-hmm. So you have to navigate while giving people older than you like direction.
Right.
So you have to be good at speaking to people mm-hmm. because they can take it the wrong way.
Easily.
Like, yo, you should be my grandson or my son or something, you know? Yeah. Are you telling me what to do? So you have to be like, I don't know, I guess lead with, what's your tactic, you know, like?
Cause so my tactic is kind of, it's different in every situation, right? The more I want something done, the more I go and speak like I'm kind of a higher up. So I'll use, you know, bigger words, stronger words, tell them how important this is and really sound sophisticated, which I should be doing every single time. But, you know, there's different topics that are hot, ones that aren't. I might just be like, hey, FYI, you know. They don't know what I'm talking about. If you were in the field, you'd be like, oh, hey, I needed this submittal back. Approved as noted. He's just giving it back to me.
Okay.
So it kind of depends on what the situation is. For example, a submittal we've been waiting for, we just got it in today. So I had to send it to the design team mm-hmm. and ask for an expedited review. And so I just kind of just put in my words like, hey, please note, this is the longest path and the most critical path of our schedule. Please return this as soon as possible.
Okay. Wow, right there. So, Mom, like in your experience, what Jay Bell was saying, is there times where you go, I should use bigger words or smaller words with this person, you know, like to get my point across? Because I didn't even think about like making that conscious choice of like, let me let them know how important this is with how sophisticated words I'm whipping out right now, you know?
Well, I think I'm in an opposite position since I'm already old.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a new job and I'm working with young people who have to teach me something. So I want them to feel comfortable with whatever I need to know and not feel like I'm going to be a bully, because there are a lot of old people that just don't want to learn new things. Mm-hmm. So I always let them know up front, listen, this is new and exciting for me. Whatever you got to tell me, don't even think I'm going to get offended. I'm not.
Okay.
And whatever I have to say, don't let me offend you. Or if you are offended, check me. It's okay. It's all good. We're in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to dumb myself up sometimes so that I can get the information I need to perform at my maximum level.
Yeah.
And when I'm dealing with some old people, sometimes I have to up the game. And for whatever reason, people seem to think that a college degree makes people smart.
Mm-hmm.
A college degree makes you teachable.
Teachable, that's it.
And I have a college degree, but I don't share that. You know, I'd rather people think I'm old and dumb, because as long as you're perceived as not too smart, you can learn a lot more, because people now are wanting to overteach you. And it's all good. It's just information.
Yeah. I wish everyone took it in like that.
Wow. That's crazy. That's so true. It's kind of, you know, being new onto a job site, a big job site, I kind of just sit back and observe and listen, not more. You know, you got 2 years and one mouth for a reason. So I just sit back and listen. And it's crazy just to see what different people think about one topic and how different avenues and different routes you can take to get to the final answer.
Right. Yeah. So, what was your introduction to construction? You said project manager, right?
Right.
Was it an influence? Like, was it your grandpa, your dad? Was there someone, a handyman just fixing things all around? And you're like, yo, from a young age, or was it something that you were, because myself in college, my major went from engineering to nursing to media, because I was like, yo, I want to be doing this pod. I want to be on the radio. I want to be a voice. But I went through this journey. So were you in college switching around majors, or were you like certain right when you came in, like, I'm doing this project management?
For me, I always think there was that foundation there.
Okay.
For example, when I was like 3 years old, there was a park, and I called it the Tractor Park.
Okay.
And all they had was this little excavator hand digger, and all it did was move dirt from one spot to the other, and I loved it. Played on it for like hours. Just go to the park and play.
I remember those, like in North Carolina, the little truck, like, yeah, you could sit on the chair and scoop and just move piles. Like, it looked just like a bulldozer. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to take you to a park upstate New York, and they had an excavator park. And then we moved to North Carolina once again. And maybe that's why you thought you wanted to be an engineer, but then you started talking and all bets were off.
It was gone. I'll bet. Yo, so okay, so excavator part three, right? Then what was the next part? What was the
next
pinnacle?
So the next part was, my dad was a plumber. So he went to get his journeyman for the Seattle Union and worked there, went to school and was guaranteed, and just saw how much benefit working in the union and construction in a trade. That's kind of where it really started, because he was making really good money. I was like, man, he's just a plumber.
You know? I was like, people sleep on plumbers. Like, they just go, I don't know. The plumber is one of those industries where you go, oh, plumber, you're cleaning pipes or whatever. But it's such a, it's just slept on. That's all I'm saying. They don't know how, it's so necessary. Your toilet's going to get clogged. Something's going to happen.
And that's where it started too. He would take me, so he would go and fix his friend's pipes or unclog their drain, snake out their drain. And I would go with him. And then he was like, oh, here's half the money since you came with me. And he would give me half the money for doing a job. And so that's what kind of was like, oh, okay.
Did he hit you with the, let me hold that for you before you buy candy with it or something?
It was, he would do a job. And let's say he got $200 for doing a job. He would give me $100. And I was like, whoa, we really didn't do anything. And that's the really part about construction that fascinated me, is as long as you're there with the process, you know where the foundation is, and you know how to get to your completion date, and at least have a goal and a plan to get there, you can make some money doing it. So,
all right, I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Yeah.
And you may not have to answer this. When's the first time you've seen a naked house? Just like
Hurricane Harvey.
Hurricane Harvey, huh?
Yeah.
Were you seeing the skeleton of the house, the what goes beneath, you know?
I saw pretty much the whole thing. I saw the house when it was still damaged and had water 4 feet high inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through the process of demoing that house and then stripping it just down to the studs. So it's all dry. Nothing's in the house besides studs.
Wow.
So the studs are basically just where your walls are at. And then I saw it 100% complete, drywall, mud, tape, tile, floor, new fixtures, everything, full blown out appliances. So I've seen the whole process pretty much.
Wow. So I can't help but think in life we mimic nature, you know, what's like the circle of life, I guess you could say. So when you're looking at these houses, you know, and these foundations, does it bring you back to your body and your foundation?
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like, whoa.
Your hygiene. Simple as that. Your hygiene. You've got to wake up in the morning, brush your teeth, and take a shower.
Actually.
Like, even the nights, sometimes I shower at night, I'll still wake up and shower again. It's just a part of my process, part of my routine.
Okay, so you're a double shower guy.
Not morning, every day, but
morning, night, but
maybe like twice a week.
Because here's me. I'll shower in the, I'm a like once a day shower guy now. Yeah, I used to be a double, but then you start thinking about your water bill too, low key.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll be like, today, let me think about today. Today I didn't take a shower. So I'm going to take one tonight.
You musty.
No, but here's the catch. So let me get you. Here's the catch. I took one last night. So why am I going to wake up from the time I took one last night, went to sleep for 8 hours, you know, nothing happened, and then take another one? It's like, I'm already fresh. You know,
it's just the quick, just the water.
Waking up by the shower.
Yeah, that's why I do it. That's personally why I do it.
But here's the thing with the shower, right?
Here's the caveat with the shower. Your boy's been reading. You dee.
The shower would also, when my mom would wake me up for school, you know, we're talking middle school to getting into high school, the shower would put me to sleep, you know, because I wake up, you know, boy, you wake up, your alarm been going off. Then I get in the shower and the water is steaming. Then I kind of like knock out. I used to do this thing like when I get out, because my mom would set a timer, because, you know, you'd be going in, then when it's like you get 10 minutes or 15 and then it rings. It's like, I have to get out. But then when I wrap in the ball in the towel, I'll knock out again, naked, just in the bathroom. Like,
I don't know. You went through a transition because you used to pretend you took a shower, but you didn't. So there'd be no wetness inside the shower, but then you trying to dry your dry body off saying, yep, I showered. I brushed my teeth, toothbrush dry. And then you went to the next phase where you like to overshower, shower all the time, shower in the morning, shower in the afternoon, shower at night.
Yeah.
So I guess now you're in a new phase called one shower. Oh, hell no.
One shower a day.
It's one bill, say, your bill.
But not only that. Yeah, when you, yeah, it is my bill. But what about the planet? You feel me? What about Mother Nature? I can't be taking up all the water.
I hear that.
But no, I do. I did love showering twice a day. I mean, but you know, I don't know. It's not ideal all the time.
You don't have to.
You don't.
But I guess it's just
to your preference, listeners. You know, you shower once, I ain't judging you. I'm with you. But you shower twice, you know, no one's mad at you.
Right.
You know. You shower more than that, then you might have some people, you know, at the plaintiff side of the court,
right.
You know.
And but that second shower, it's never like a full, like, wash your hair. It's kind of just, I'm going to get in. It's a bird bath. It's a bird bath.
Bird bath.
That's all it is. It's
yeah.
Bird bath.
So, yeah, we get into the foundation, right?
Yep.
So now, all right, hygiene is a foundation of human. Because, you know, if you stink, your opportunity is gone, period. You know? If you're trying to talk to me about business and I'm smelling your breath the whole time, I can't think about all the important things you're saying. It's just like, you're fired before you're hired, Cuddy. Uh-huh. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But so that's really where it comes into your foundation, that hygiene. Uh-huh. It can ruin your opportunity.
Foundation is huge. You can't, you know, kind of like, you know, Mama was saying earlier, is you can't really build off a foundation if it's not strong. Mm. You know, I said an analogy in a previous show. If you have a bucket and you put your small rocks in before your big rocks,
mm-hmm.
you're
can
not
put more rocks in.
You're not going to have enough rocks. But if you put your big rocks in and then your small rocks can go down to where the big rocks are and void all those gaps.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have, you know, your big things, you know, taken care of first, and then the little things, they'll come as they come, you know, you'll get it, whether it's practicing reading, you know, but your goal, your big rock is just finishing that book or
yeah.
getting that knowledge.
Yo, so Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah, crazy.
All right, love for the listeners, where was that hurricane?
It was in Houston.
Okay, and were you in Houston when it went down?
I was not.
Okay.
But I left a week before it happened.
What, did they back. Have evacuations and you had that, or was it just coincidence that you
it
left?
Was coincidence. I had to go back to school. It was time to go back to school. The wow. semester was starting, and I always go to Texas like 2 weeks before school starts.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so, yeah, just coincidental. I left right before. Greg actually got stuck, though, for, I think, 5 to 10 days or something like that. He got stuck for like 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
But no, but I came back after, like right after it all happened, and it was just crazy.
Yeah, the site must have been just
people's whole houses were on the side of the road.
Yeah.
They're everything inside their house. Some people who didn't have insurance were washing off their couches with the water hose. It was just a crazy sight to see.
Wow. And whoa, the insurance, that's the thing. That's so crazy. Insurance is so sick. It's like something you don't want to pay for. It's like, what are the odds? But if you paid for something that, but you don't want to ever use it, but you want to be covered too.
For sure.
But then when you have to use it, you're like, sometimes they try to catch 22 you and go, well, you did get it, but you didn't get if the flood is over 8 feet. You got the basic if it's a 4 feet
yeah.
flood. You know, there's so many ways people are trying to get out of the responsibility.
So yeah, it was crazy, and that's kind of where it all started. Kind of learned a lot just from that experience.
So you saw the house naked, right? Yep. As you said, and then from there, and what point are you now? Are you in eighth grade? Are you in
college?
You're in college, are you? Yeah. All right. So before college, were you doing? Since your dad was taking on construction projects when you were younger, like in what, elementary or around mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. were you continuing that process through middle school and high school, or was there a gap between that and you just?
Not so much high school, but the foundation was still there.
Okay.
It was still, you know, I was living with my dad. It was, we're going to go outside and mow the yard today. We're going to go pick up all the pine needles. On Sundays, we're going to mop. We're going to sweep. We're going to clean. You know, so it's always kind of like taking care of the house or doing something, fixing this if it's broken. We used to play Madden and like chest bump the wall and put a little hole in the wall, and so we would have to patch it and fix it. So that's where I kind of learned drywall, tape, float, things like that. So it just kind of always just progressed and just learned something new, just always.
Man, okay. Dang, because when I think of like the foundation, I have to say, what, last year we were doing the ceiling fan, and like our foundation was YouTube. You know, I mean, mom was like, yo, we can get someone to get this. And it's like, it's so easy. And I want to say to the listeners, it's so easy to go, I'm not an electrician. Like, what if I ain't got no business doing this? But now that we have this internet, you know, these smartphones, to be able to like log on and watch some guy do it and break it down and just follow step by step, it's actually very empowering, you know? I don't know. Like, what do you have to say about it? Because I have YouTube now. What was like your foundation growing up with like tackling these tasks? Were you just diving into the phone book or the encyclopedia? Because you didn't have the YouTube to just go to at 18 or 20 like ourselves, you know?
This is true. So, and there's three things I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
One, that YouTube, you looked at it, the fan, and you said, no, we can't do this. We mm-hmm. need to hire somebody.
Actually.
And then I looked up YouTube and said, I think we can do this. I got the video and I sent it to you.
Yeah.
And then you said, yeah, I watched it several times, mom. Yeah, we could do this. And the first one was easy.
Yeah.
The second one had problems and you said, oh, we can't do this.
Yeah.
Then we looked up problems and you were able to get that done. But when we were growing up, I had a brother who seemed to feel that he was a decorator in the making. So I don't know where he got the information from. I mean, we were ironing the tiles on the floor and scraping them up because he said that would melt the glue. He had all kind of ideas that we were doing. So to be honest, if it was up to me, it would be like, but since my brother, I think he just talked to a lot of people. Wow. Maybe that's where you got it from. But my third point I wanted to touch on is, Jay Bell, when you were in school, did you find that some of the students that were in your construction classes came from that background? And were there many people of color that were in that degree program?
That's a very good topic to touch on.
Right away, like, were there Hispanics? Was it heavy or was it, you know?
So right away, in my class of 2020, mm-hmm. I was the only black kid.
Wow.
So I was the only one. We did have two other Eastern, Middle Eastern ethnicities too. But other than that, it was predominantly white males. And we had maybe five girls max. Wow. So
crazy, because when you think of construction, it's very heavy on the Hispanic culture. When you see it getting done, like my good friend's, his father, like shout out Jesus, his father was an excellent construction worker, and he helped and did projects with him, and then helped put on other homies to get good quick money while helping, you know, people, you know. It's like a word of mouth kind of industry,
right?
When you need someone to do the nuts and bolts and you kind of direct them and handle the other parts they don't understand.
So I kind of see it as there's two topics to that. There's, you know, the field side and there's the office side. The field side is the one that's out in the field doing production, actually building the building. Mm-hmm. The office side is the one that's handling all the paperwork, tracking, doing all the stuff that you don't see behind scenes. So that's kind of the difference between going to school for construction. A lot of people, you know, especially being black and one of the only ones in my class, I'm thinking to myself, like, hey, if you're struggling to find a job or if your job you're at isn't paying enough, go try to look into the construction field. They have raises. They give you full benefits. There's a lot of different perks to being in construction that you can really thrive off of and support your family.
Word.
Like, who knew a plumber was going to make $100K a year? No college degree, still making $100K a year supporting.
Yeah, all you honestly need is advertisement if you're that, you know, because there's plumbers and plumbers. So
yeah.
So that's a great point you brought up. Where would someone start in construction? Where's like a entry level? Hey, me, you know, I have no idea. Like I said, I'm off of YouTube University. If I was like, you know what, let me just do a switch up. What would you just recommend just from your experience? Like,
get on a job site.
A job site.
Just get on some kind of construction project, whether it's residential, commercial, any kind of construction project. You'll see the workflow, and it's kind of similar on a basis-to-basis kind of thing from start of construction to finish of construction. The mm-hmm. means and the methods are kind of the same. You can relate a lot to each another. So,
how many days off do you get in the week? You get 2 days, you get the weekend. Is it varied depending on the project? Are you ever doing 7 days straight? Like,
depends on the project, but average is 7 to 5, 10 days, 10-hour days for 5 days a week. That's just the office side. Crew side, they're going probably 10, depends on the schedule, though, but mm-hmm. worst case scenario, they're going 10-hour to 11-hour days, 6 days a week. Yeah. So they're working Saturdays.
Especially with deadlines, right? Because mm-hmm. that's and then you have to go.
Or delays, weather delays.
Weather delays.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to get in a Saturday just to wrap up a few things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just get on a job site and learn the tools, learn what tool does what. There's a tool out there to do anything that you need.
Milwaukee.
There's a tool out there to mount your TV, a stud finder, you know, or you can just go knock on the wall and listen to see when it sounds different.
That's that raw strength. That's that Viking, you know. There's the stud finder, like we're talking RoboCop type thing, and mm-hmm. then we got the Viking age. Like, let me just hear the sound of nature real quick. You know, it's so hollow here.
There's two ways to do it.
But I know the listeners want to know this, because let's talk about the construction swag. Let's talk about the swag. Yeah. All right. I noticed construction workers, because I've been seeing a lot of construction everywhere, and I've just been looking at their fits. One, the yellow vest. You know, yellow vest and that helmet. Now, that's a lifesaver or what?
For sure.
That's just to be that vest is like, you see I'm a human standing here. For make sure that crane don't hit me.
Yep.
Right? Or whatever. Don't you see this thing in your peripheral, right?
Mm-hmm.
It must be, you have to wear that vest. It ain't corny. Yeah. It's a lifesaver.
Yeah.
Because my dad works in the GE field. He works with windmills. Mm-hmm. And he's told me of incidents like people losing fingers, like holding their hand up and like a machine coming by and things happen, like
for sure.
Nails pop out the ground. There's so much things you're going against. So you can't just be showing up with Vans or some basketball shoes.
No. So boots, PPE, personal protective equipment.
Okay. What are some of the most common boots? Like, are we talking Tim's for my New York heads, or are we talking Caterpillar? Like,
there's so many different kinds of boots.
What's the top two or three you would say that you see in your, like, just from people around you, including yourself? What do you rock? What do you rock? What boots?
I rock the Georgia boots.
The Georgia boots.
And I rock the Justins.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of like a knockoff brand. But then there's another, like, Red Dog one that's a really good one.
Okay. What's the top of the line that maybe someone's like, you know, in basketball or in other things, we'll go ham, like, 300 on some Yeezys or on some J's. What's like, I'm in construction, I'm gonna floss. Like, I don't need to pay that much for these, but
it's kind of a different thing, because if you're the guy showing up onto the job site with some new boots, they're gonna make fun of you. They're gonna be like, oh, you're the new guy. So when you get some new boots, you want to wear them around the house and the yard for a little bit, get them a little dirty, so you're not looking like the new guy on the job site. They're going to make fun of you.
Throw some paint right away. Yep. It's funny. I used to work at Finish Line, and this lady came she came to buy some white Converse for her daughter. And then she said, yeah, my daughter had me run over the shoes 3 or 4 times in my car because she wanted them to look not crispy white. She wanted them to look worn. And that's some of the things I like. Like, Vans are one of those shoes, Converse. There's a few shoes where you want them to look busted and dirty. Yeah. That gives them their character.
Those leather white Converse, the ones that were leather and not cloth. Oh, man, I rocked like six pairs of those just back to back to back. I had like three pairs at one time. Mm. One was the nice ones that you could wear with the clean fit. The other ones were the frat shoes.
Okay, so now let's talk about, all right, so we got the boots. Jeans. Jeans are a thing. Levi's, are those common? Or are we looking more for cargo? We want pockets.
Depends on if you're in the field or in the office. If you're in the field, you're
going... Yeah, field versus office. So let's talk about the field.
You're going Wrangler or the Levi's. Okay. Office, you're going Dockers. Dickies is in there, too.
Okay. Carhartt, are we...
Carhartt's in there, too. That's more field. But Carhartt gets nice if you're going for the jacket. Okay. Carhartt jacket is fire.
Okay. So, and then jackets, yeah. So Carhartt, what else? Caterpillar? No. I keep throwing that name out there.
Caterpillar is a company that sells equipment.
Okay. All right. I feel like I keep seeing their merch, but maybe it's just...
They do have merch, too.
Okay. So Carhartt jackets, that's not a thing in construction. Is there any other brand that really you like?
Red Wing.
Red Wing.
Red Wing.
Yeah. Okay. And you forgot the most important part. It's not just the look. You need to have them do their job. So they need to be steel-toed.
Yeah, right.
And the yellow and orange vest, they're pretty, but they're your protection so that people see you.
Right.
That's so important. You want to be seen.
Yeah, steel-toed save lives.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of like working in a restaurant.
Corner.
You need non-skid shoes.
Right.
But just getting back to the construction field and how you got into it, yes, there's a definite difference between management and,
field.
Field. But for the management side, when you go to college for that, do you find that the people that are in those classes already come from a background of construction, like their parents already owned the company, or, that was something they did all along? And the difference for people going into the management side, is it easier then to get those big projects as opposed to if you're excellent, but you just came from the field side and you've been doing it for 30 years? You probably know a little bit more than someone just coming out of college. So how does that work? And last part, how do we get more people, more young people of color, to become interested in construction? Mm-hmm. Because the money's good and it's not always about these other degrees and things that you'll never need or that will not pay for themselves, so to speak.
Yeah, good point. Answer your first one, yes, a lot of people in college in my class did have a father or a family member that either owned their own business or worked for a general contractor in a large area. So that was huge.
Family
they just kind of they had relationships and contacts already coming into the field, so they could work for their dad's buddy, they could work for their dad, or they could work for somebody's friend. Part two of that.
Yeah, like getting more people of color interested.
So to get more people interested, I would say that, one, the money can be really good. The second part with that was management versus field.
Yeah.
So going into a different one. So the field obviously takes longer. People who've worked in the field for many of years, they want to get into the office or management position. Going to college does help that because you're automatically put into the office management field position. So you work up a lot quicker versus someone who's an apprentice just on the field learning from the ground, the foundation up. So you kindly get a step head start to the role you want to be because you have an uncle or have a father or know someone who has a construction business. So you have kind of a background, which is why school could be a benefit because it can put you into a management office position. Mm-hmm. It's 100 degrees in Texas. You're trying to be inside in the air conditioning. You're not trying to be outside with a hammer and a nail.
Yeah, actually.
So, so to get more people of color into it, I would say, one, the money is good. You can support yourself. You can support a family. Two, it's something different every single day. Your problems.
We love a challenge.
But it's interesting. It's fascinating. You're going to go home and be like, wow, what a day. And then you're going to start laughing like because you were stressed out about something or, you know, the higher ups are getting stressing you to go faster. But you're just going to go home and laugh because you're still adding so much benefit to an overall goal. And a third part of that is just to see something and say, hey, I helped complete that project, or I helped work on this.
You see that skyscraper right there?
You know,
that's me.
You know, just, you know, being a male, you want to have that, you know, say, hey, I did this. Mm. You know, my dad, he plumbed the Seahawks training center. Mm-hmm. This guy, that's first project he'll say that it, his experience. It just the Seahawks training facility camp. I helped build that. That's pretty cool. That's saying something that's to be proud of.
It's an experience that, you know, if you're going to that stadium or you're a fan, it's like, oh, whoa, you're a part of my memory, my moment, you know?
For sure, for sure. So
I just wonder, you know, how they have like the Black Architect Society, you know, I'm just making up the name, or the Black Nurses,
Black at Apple, Black NAC.
So, do they have anything like the Black Construction Workers Emporium? I mean, you know, I'm just making up this name, but that they do some sort of youth outreach, because I think if you interest people at a young age, as you were, you know, introduced to it, that they would get more people in the field coming in from that management college level, as opposed to just the, for lack of a better word, field hand, which there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You know, getting paid is always good.
Yep.
But we, you know, I just feel like we got to do more to reach out to young people to say, hey, this is a profession that you can make some money. And it's interesting, it's exciting, mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. And it has so much opportunities in so many different areas that you never need to be bored, whether it's residential, whether it's, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. First, I would say I got to start with the perception that you have. So a lot of people like to say, oh, you don't want to end up like him who's working in the field, which that's a terrible way to look at it. One of the funnest classes in high school was my robotics class. Not really too much to do with construction, but just like the CAD and the software they used was similar to construction. And that's the part that I found most fascinating. So it starts kind of with your perception. And yes, companies do reach out. But when they do reach out to get the youth involved, it's normally through an internship program, which they only seek at universities that they've graduated from, or that's in the area, or people who are coming to the state that are in the same field. So it's normally them hiring similar generations after generations. You know, you kind of see, for example, my class was predominantly white males. That's what you see the most interns are getting hired, as predominantly white males. Not saying that that's a good thing or bad thing. There is more inclusion. We're starting to see more inclusion, a lot of more women. At my job right now, I'm a part of a diversity, equity, and inclusion action team. And our goal is just to see what the problems are and see why we have unconscious bias while we're talking to people, or what we have in the field. One, they were talking about, why don't we hire more ethnicities for interns? I was like, you know, that's actually a pretty good idea. Why aren't minorities going and seeking, you know, a big general contractor or going to talk to them? Which for me, that was crazy, because that's one of the things I was really good at in college. My college actually, they pushed us to go talk to people and get out and get our name out there. So I was searching for a job in construction for 2 years before I even graduated, just because I was so passionate of this is what I want to do. I know there's money in it. I know I can be good at it. I want to take it to the next level. So, yeah.
I guess I'm thinking that the pipeline needs to start also on the educational side of things, that back when schools had money, mm-hmm. They used to have classes that were shop classes. Mm-hmm. And then they started to take them out of the rotation. Mm-hmm. But masonry, electrical, I mean, my brothers went to school, one for airplane mechanic. It was a high school in Brooklyn. That's what it was geared to get you into the Air Force or into aeronautics. That's what it was, mm-hmm. High School of Aeronautics. And then my other sibling went to GE High School, and the background was electrical. And then all of a sudden, we decided everyone should go to college, and then when you need a plumber or an electrician, you know, it's hard to find just people who graduated from high school and became journeymen and can get the job done. Mm. Everybody's happy until the plumbing goes out.
Actually,
you know, I didn't know the difference between being on a sewer system and being in a septic tank. And I can tell you, when the septic tank goes out, you're calling a plumber. Mm-hmm. And you want one that knows what they're doing. You know, and there's so many areas in that field alone. So I just think we just need to start people much younger. And we need to get people visiting these junior high schools and high schools,
yeah.
And introducing them to these opportunities and just letting them know, hey, this is out there. Because I know in high school for me, even, you know, for women as well, but no one ever came to my high school to do any of those presentations.
Wow.
And I think that makes a difference. I have a cousin who's a pharmacist because she said, a pharmacist came to her high school and said, this is a great job. Let me tell you about it.
Shout out cousin Linda.
Yeah. I think that's what we need. People to come into, you know, just not just on the college level, but a little lower down and say, hey, this is a great profession. Let me tell you about it. And with that, you were so lucky to have your dad do that. You know, not so officially, but definitely it shaped your decisions. And how cool is that?
Yo, Mom, you made excellent points, because you know what? That's a great call to action. I feel like that's something we can do.
Easily.
You know, you heard radio pulling up to some high schools and mm-hmm. and hitting them with your experience. Like, we can talk about the media side, right? You heard radio and exposing people, but also very important, that exposure. Because I think about some of the assemblies where people came to speak to us. And one that sticks out to me from my high school, Mariner High School, this one gentleman, I can't remember his name, but at least his story, Hispanic gentleman, he started his presentation wearing lokes and looking fully blacked out gangster. And he was talking about the streets and being raised by uncles, socking him in the chest every day just to make sure he was tough, seeing his best friend die at the age of 11 in his hands, just all these things. And as his presentation went on, he started stripping off his clothes, like his trench coat and different things. And by the end of his presentation, he was dripped in class. You know, he had the suit, the tie, but he started off with the black tee, the cholo, you know, giving us his story. And it was powerful to just listen and see how he was evolving. And he was like, mm-hmm. he said, like, I had a 1-point-something GPA. I went to a community college. I got my thing up. And then from there, I went to Harvard. And I was the only Hispanic cat walking to Harvard with tats on my face. And just people were splitting the halls when I walked, like the Red Seas, you know. But I did that, you know, and I was in that environment. And to hear that story is like powerful. It's enough mm-hmm. powerfulness to be like, I can go to Harvard, or let me go do that.
All right.
So it's cool to think of the simple things, where it comes back to what you were saying in the very beginning. Being good at talking to people,
yeah,
and just exposing, you know, career days and just exposing people to different fields. Because again, like a lot, like for us as people of color, it comes straight to a few things, like, you know, picking up a microphone, picking up a basketball, and you know, working at Foot Locker, some kind of sneaker store. It's just a few things that just kind of catch, but we're now being exposed to being the scientist, being the one to make the vaccine. You know, certain things that we can have fun with when we're really good at math or we're really good at things. But then when we walk into these unconscious bias, like in your field, someone's like, you're really good at holding the microphone, J-Bell. You're like, what? Like, so how many buckets you make in high school? Do you have 2 kids? Like, how many baby mamas you have? Yeah. They're just throwing these unconscious, like, you're a cool guy. I didn't mean it in that kind of way. I was just kind of just saying it because, you know, like, isn't that what you do, right?
Right. And I think that, and that's like a good thing about talking to people is kind of like Mama was saying earlier, is, you know, if you perceive me as I'm being dumb, you're people are going to overteach you. And when they overteach you, you just physically, naturally want to make that better. At least I do personally. So when someone's talking to me or trying to teach me something, I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to watch what they're doing and see how they're doing it.
Execute.
I'm going to find out how to make it easier. What tool do they not have to make it easier? So I know in the future, being in management, hey, this is a good tool to use for this job or this project.
Hey, well, I'm just glad to hear that you're part of that board to, you know, promote change. And I guess what I was thinking when you were saying that, I was like, man, I mean, it'd be excellent to, what advice would you give? All right, so there's these guys in the field working hard to go up. I feel like that's a great starting point to just push them or, you know, like poke them into the right direction. Like, look, you already have all this experience from being here. If you can make that time, I know that's, you know, you have obligations, you're doing this, but if you can make that time to get into the school system just to get this degree, you already have all the background knowledge, you already have the resources, you know, or recommendations from the field. We can start with them, you know. It's kind of like people already in that position, because it's always, I know how frustrating it is to be working in some field and then people come from out of nowhere, from college, that never been in the field above you, and you're like, yo, you don't even know what I know.
Right.
know, so I feel like that's a great start.
And they can be above you, you know, coming out of college. I could be technically at a higher level than them, but they're still being in the field making more money than I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there's it all weighs out. It all weighs out in some way or another.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah, for sure. Knowledge is power. Yeah. Even when you're in the field, when you're moving up, yes, it's a longer, but to move up, it is going to be those classes you're taking, like you said. It's going to be those certificates that you get.
Certification's very important.
It's maybe not a bachelor's degree, but it's a certificate.
Forklift certification. Like
easy.
Different.
OSHA certified.
Crane certified.
Crane certified. Electrical certified. Certified plumber. Mm-hmm. There's tons of certifications that you can get.
Reading.
For sure.
All certifications are, just to paint it for you listeners, it's just reading and taking a test. read a few slides and pass that test.
Yep.
And then you do that repetition maybe 30, 40 times, and you're done with that cert. You took whatever test, and you got it. You know, you just got to retain the information, write a little bit. And if you can't remember like a genius, you're not gifted with memory, but you write on the note cards, you got your time frame, and you push through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's very doable, and it's not, we're not stuck to college, because I'm not going to get too deep into college thing, but man, like the college thing, you're dropping racks and you
building
get
debt.
And building debt. And if you don't make the opportunity, like, as you said, like those 2 years of going out of your college way to get an internship or to get a connection,
right?
When you graduate, you're on your own, and then you're dealing with, didn't you go to college? Where's your job at? Where's, you know, you're dealing with that because you didn't go further to make those connections. And again, that could connect to your zip code. Some zip codes will look out for you and say, hey, we've already prepared these internships or threw them in front of your face. And others may have not given you the opportunity. So that's why we want to let you know here. You may have to make that opportunity for yourself, but use that to get into an internship to get yourself set up, because that's what it comes down to. You're in this frustrating situation where it goes, you need 3 to 5 years experience. And then you're like, the last 3 to 5 years, I was in college. I wasn't even getting the experience.
Right.
Now you're telling me I should have already had that job. I got to start from ground zero. So I want to, anyone listening, thank you. But, you know, take advantage of that. It's not all that. Just the school alone. It's not just the school alone, because that can put you in a setback, and you're paying all that money back for the school.
Right. As long as you got a good foundation and you know where you want to go and you know where the end goal is in mind, you can do it. You can do whatever you put your mind to. So just start with your foundation. Make sure you keep your reasons why you're doing whatever you're striving for. Make sure you keep on doing it, and keep the foundation strong.
Keep it strong. And with that, man, strong foundation. And now we dive into our local to global.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Jay Bell, let us know who we getting today. Who's local going global?
I'm gonna shout out my girl Michelle.
Okay.
She lived in my cul-de-sac in elementary school, so we kind of grew up together, and she said she was really liking the podcast. So I subscribed to her YouTube channel. She's got her own YouTube channel.
That spicy noodle channel.
Stupid. It's up there. It's up there.
Yes, sir.
So you can follow her at Michelle Lada, MichelleDaAAG. It'll be tagged.
Yeah, we're going to tag it. So
we're going to tag it.
Don't trip. Just look at the description, please, and show some love. And with that, I'm going to shout out to you, Mom. Who are we shouting out?
I'm going to shout out my second daughter, secondary, because I have none. But her company is Together Good Co. Hey. And it's a female-founded company, and it's about small businesses, Instagram growth, and mentorship.
Okay, yeah. So shout out to Patrice, Together Good Co. Yeah, I've worked with her. She's in all the award shows. Grammys, BET Awards, Nobel Peace, you name it. And like, I know her company provides goods for, I want to say, the backstage or for the company, as far as healthy snacks and things that
lead to an all-knowing blessing for your well-being. Together Good Co. Yadig, leave your thoughts to take over on this one soon. Let that girl live.
And with that, I'm going to slide into mine. I'm going to shout out Asha and Fanon. Good tea and all shade. All tea and all shade, all right? So I work with them. They're just very knowledgeable women in the scene and the culture. Definitely just keeping us fun and lifted, but also very educated. So Asha said, what, on Instagram? And we got Fanon. I'm going to tag both of them. Shout out to y'all. I love what you're doing. Keep the YouTube videos coming. You're funny and you're uplifting. So that's all we need to know. Keep that going. Ivy Park all day. You know the vibes. And with that, I'm going to slide right into that transition into my D-Pop of the Week. So D-Pop of the Week, I'm shouting out Nasland. All right. Now, to give you a little context of him, he's black on D-Pop. All right. Verified. What I like about his page is his background always has his closet. So he always has his closet. He does the close-up scenes. And it's the repetition. That's what I'm trying to let you guys know. Repetition is what makes your page pop. You use the exact same corner. You use the same background. Consistency. Repetition and consistency. But when you're consistent, it catches. When you keep seeing the same Geico ad, you start to jingle it. So that's just a secret to it. Shout out to you, Noslin. I'm going to have his D-Pop tagged, his gram. And now we're just going to close it out with some closing statements of positivity. So, J-Bell, what do you want to...
I just want everybody to know that we always keep on trying to find these ways to kill time. You know, we're at work. Let me hop on the gram real quick and kill 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. We're always trying to find these ways to kill time while time kills us. So just keep on trying to be great every single day. Mm-hmm. And just keep on going after what you're going after. Don't give up and be consistent.
Be consistent.
That's all I got.
That's right. And how about you, Mom? What are we leaving the listeners with? I just
say wake up every day and think about one good thing in your life. And dwell on that, and all the rest of the good things will come to your mind as the day progresses.
Dwell.
Just one good thing a day.
I love that. All right. And yeah, just off that, day by day in every way, we're getting better and better. So with that, I want to say, find yourself your motivation in that, and find a saying. Something that always got me through my jobs or different parts of my life was finding something to get me through. When I was a dishwasher, I called myself the legendary dishwasher of the West, you know, West Coast, you know. But something to bounce off of both of their ideas is find your affirmation, give yourself some positive feedback, even if you're feeling just down, under dirt, all that. If you keep repeating something, you start to become it. That's where that saying comes, fake it till you make it. So with that being said, be positive. And if you ain't, fake being positive till you are. And with that, you have just been sooned. And we're going to sign off.
Later.
You know the vibes. And with that, we're signing off to Her Light. let that boy live.
Yeah, fanny pack man. So,
close your eyes and listen. Get out the stupid system.